Cow Plunge.
Fourth Grade Challenge.
Diabetes Expo.
As a key sponsor of Mustangs baseball and Chiefs training camp, Heartland is a number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.
Everybody, welcome to Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joseph, Missouri. It's Training Camp live on KCChiefs.com, presented by Heartland Health. Josh Looney coming at you solo today as we give Mitch Holthus a 48-hour break. Mitch is still in camp. You remember yesterday he had that little cold that made him sound under the weather. Well, he's even more under the weather today, so we'll bring him back on Thursday when we are live again for our next show. A reminder, tomorrow is the Players' Day off. It is a break in camp, so no Chiefs live on Wednesday, so we'll be back with Mitch Holthus on Thursday afternoon. It's like the good old days with me here with you, kind of like when we broadcast solo out of a closet. But no, we're here with a nice set, and we've got more great exclusive training camp footage and news to share with you. On the top of the news agenda today, some bad news for rookie fullback Taylor Gentry. This is a guy I was very excited about coming into training camp. A great story in the back end of Taylor Gentry's career. Started off as a walk-on at NC State. Keep this in mind. Walk-on freshman, had one scholarship offer coming out of high school, and it was to Division II UNC Pembroke. So he walks on to NC State as a true freshman, takes over the starting fullback job late into the season, earns a scholarship, becomes a four-year starter for the Wolfpack. It's a special teams captain, leads the Wolfpack in special teams tackles for 2 years. I pulled all that together, and I think, well, it's a wide-open job at fullback. You have Gentry, you have Shane Bannon, who was injured last season. I'm circling Taylor Gentry as a man to watch. He never got on the practice field here. An undisclosed injury, failed physical. He is out of camp. Gentry is no longer on the Chiefs roster. Kind of a surprise, really, because this is a guy that took part in OTAs and minicamp in their entirety. He even went to Joplin with the team, worked in my group on a house, and appeared healthy. Then something must have happened between them and now. Romeo Crennel did not want to get into specifics, but ultimately Gentry could not pass his physical, and the Chiefs have moved on. We'll get into what that means at the fullback position later in the show, but Shane Bannon, the only fullback in camp. A lot of people were concerned yesterday when they read the news that Junior Hemingway, the seventh-round wide receiver out of Michigan, left practice and was escorted by trainers into the locker room. Good news, bad news with him. The bad news is he'll miss tonight's practice. The good news, not a serious injury, just a strained groin muscle for Junior Hemingway. So you would expect him to be back in a few days. A little bit of other Chiefs news. Great news on the Brandon Seiler front. We know he missed the entire 2011 season with an Achilles injury. This is a guy who was on crutches yesterday with an ankle injury. You put two and two together, you're a little bit worried about what may happen with him. And he's going to come back. We talked to Romeo Crennel earlier today. He updated us on all of these guys, what to expect, and even called Brandon Seiler a spring chicken this morning.
As we looked at the squad, a couple things occurred yesterday. Tony Hugo decided to retire. He was a tackle we picked up a couple days ago, and he just felt like it's best for he and his family if he retired. So he retired from the game, and there's nothing we could do about that. And you know, you gotta have a desire, and you gotta have your mind clear on all your problems and things out of the way to try to play this game. And so after talking with his wife and family, he decided that he was going to retire from the game. So he did that. And we were working out a couple guys this morning to see if we can find a replacement. And so we'll do that. Taylor Gentry, the young man who's a fullback who hasn't been able to get on the field to this point because of the physical and meeting with doctors and things, he's not going to be able to pass the physical, and he's not going to be on the team for medical reasons. I will not talk about the reasons. I think that that's something that if he chooses to talk to you about them, he will. But he's not going to be passed on the physical, and so he no longer will be with us. The only other thing from yesterday is Junior Hemingway, you know, got a muscle strain in the groin, and so we're going to have to rest him a little bit until he can get that strengthened and then get him back out there. You know, Junior was working hard, just like all the guys are, and we think that he was making progress, and so this will set him back a little bit, but because he does work hard, I think that he'll be able to catch up pretty quickly. And if there was anything else, here we go. Something good. Brandon Albert, you know, first day in pads yesterday, I think he enjoyed being out there in pads and had a good time, really, because I asked him this morning if he was sore or anything, and he said, no, not really. He said he enjoyed the first day in pads, and he said, ask me in 10 days. So that was good. So, you know, a little bit change in schedule today. They have a chance, really, to sleep in over lunch if they choose to, because meetings have been moved back an hour. And we'll meet with them this afternoon before we go into practice field, and then we'll practice tonight.
Gentry's exit puts the Chiefs roster at 88 players. You can carry 90 in training camp. Of course, yesterday, Tony Hugo unexpectedly announced his retirement. He's out of camp. That put the Chiefs at 89. And today, with Taylor Gentry ultimately not passing that physical, puts the Chiefs at 88. Romeo said there are some players here in camp working out. He's not sure what they're going to do at the fullback position. The Chiefs do have options. They could go with Shane Bannon as that traditional fullback. They could go with no traditional fullback. You look at some tight ends, guys like Jake O'Connell have some backfield flexibility. Peyton Hillis has been a guy in this league that started as a fullback, and we've seen a lot of two-back sets with Hillis and Charles. Of course, Hillis hasn't served a fullback role since prior to the 2010 season, and really even before that when he was kind of splitting time with Denver in a halfback, fullback role, and we haven't seen him be a lead blocker here in camp, but the Chiefs do have personnel options, even with Bannon being the only player in camp that is a pure fullback. In fact, you could argue that the only time the Chiefs would get into a situation where they would really need a true fullback, if that's the route they go, would be a fourth and short, a third and short, a fourth and goal, with someone blocking for Hillis as the lead blocker. Think back to 2010, Sean Smith, a defensive lineman, served that role for Kansas City in those situations. So it remains to be seen if the Chiefs add a body at fullback. We'll see what goes on with that. It does sound like they're working out some offensive tackles, though, to bring in competition. The Chiefs still want a veteran to be able to push Donald Stevenson and David Mims for that job for the swing tackle position. One of the new guys in camp, in fact, the Chiefs roster was at its full 90-player alignment for a mere 4 hours yesterday before Hugo announced his retirement with the signing of Edgar Jones. We talked a little bit about him and what he brings to the table on this show yesterday. I caught up with him after practice yesterday for a little one-on-one to tell you more about his career and how he landed in Kansas City. Newest Kansas City Chief Edgar Jones with us. Edgar, he's been in Baltimore since 2007, and you're here at Chiefs camp. The one thing I notice is you're not able to get acclimated at least for 3 days. So for a guy that comes into camp in this new CBA thing, and you have to wait 3 days to start going with your new teammates, what kind of challenges does that present?
It's a challenge, but I mean, that's what life is about. Coming here after a couple of days after they started camp was a challenge for me, trying to catch up in the playbook. But not only that, but when I get out on the field, I find out I can't practice for 3 days. So it's now even more of a challenge just getting my playbook, watching even more film, and just overtime my playbook. And even when I'm on the field, when I can't get out there with the team, just on the sideline watching the reps, trying to get the calls that they're getting, and just repetition in my mind, just going through it and just being in my playbook a lot more, really.
There are two positions on this roster that aren't necessarily thin at talent, but they're thin at the depth and even numbers in depth. One is outside linebacker. Another is tight end. Two places you've had experience before in Baltimore. Just give us an idea of your career and when you were playing tight end, when you made the switch to defense, just kind of how your career has gone.
My career has been a blessing, man. Without God, I wouldn't even be here today. But my first year, I went to linebacker. My second year, moved to tight end. And during my second year, I had two playbooks, an offense playbook and a defense playbook. Going into my third year, I was still at tight end a little bit, then I moved back during the season back to linebacker. But I still was kind of getting offense information, just learning. But after my third year, I just made official and just went back to linebacker. But, I mean, it was a great thing playing on both sides of the ball, just just being on the offensive side of the ball and having a lot more respect for offense, just seeing how the game slows down on the offensive side of the ball. So just being over there, learning how offense do things, how tight ends work, how offensive linemen work, and it helped me out with my defensive game.
Your guy has been very active in special teams for a team that's been known for years and years and years as one of the best special teams groups in the National Football League. How do you expect to kind of bring that to Kansas City? I imagine you're ready to gear for a special teams role here, too.
Yeah, man. I mean, my whole career, that's what it's been about, special teams. And everyone has to find that what it is that they can do to stay in the league. And I find what it is for me, and that's special teams. So coming here and helping the team out as much as I can, whether it's special team, defense, or even offense if my name is called for something. But just trying to help out as much as I can and starting with special teams, trying to contribute. Because I feel like in special teams, you only get so many plays a game. So each play has to be perfect to perfection. So trying to help out as much as I can, man, special team.
Well, good luck to you, man. We'll be waiting to see you after that acclimation period expires.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. All right. Well, we'll see where Edgar Jones can fit in. You look at tight end. He played a little tight end fullback. Who knows? Maybe he gets over there on the offensive side of the football as well. Jones, of course, right now is competing with the outside linebackers. Went through his first walkthrough this morning. Has to wait those two more days, though, to join the practice field. Look for him this preseason, especially on special teams as he tries to make this roster. Now, I wrote this morning, it got a lot of carry on Eric Berry and his impressive return to full padded practice. Mitch and I talked yesterday on this show right here about one snap and one-on-ones. He shuts down Jonathan Baldwin, who, by the way, had a ridiculous standout performance yesterday at training camp. Two deep touchdown passes from Matt Castle. These two and their connection just continues to grow and grow and grow. We've talked about it all offseason. What I've wanted to see out of Jonathan Baldwin was him carry what he did during OTAs and non-padded practices into padded practices. He's done that so far. If he continues to do that, the next step for Baldwin is to do it in games and, of course, then regular season games. But Berry, besides Baldwin's spectacular camp thus far, did shut down the hot receiver in his first one-on-one matchup and then turned around and shut down Dexter McCluster. And Eric Berry yesterday took in his first full team activity. They held him out of 11-on-11 work on Sunday. Yesterday, he was back on the field with the number one defense, took all the team reps with the first team defense and 11-on-11. I caught up with him afterwards to not only talk about shutting down Baldwin and McCluster the day before, but what it felt like to return to the practice field in full capacity.
With Eric Berry at Chiefs training camp, you've got the shoulder pads in your hand. Today, Eric, that was the first time you got to put them on and do the whole team portion. How was that?
It was cool. It's always good to get out there with your teammates, have fun, run around. So it was a good deal.
Romeo told us that after yesterday when they had the full pads and you did all the one-on-ones and you did some position stuff, but they held you out of the 11-on-11. He said you were winning their urge and that you wanted to get out there today and do it all.
Yeah, you know, anytime you step on the field, you want to be actually on the field, you know. But I'm glad I got out there today, got some of the rust knocked off, and I'm looking forward to keep being out there.
You turned some heads during one-on-ones yesterday when you locked up Jonathan Baldwin, so you've got a guy who's tall and can jump, and then you went and locked up Dexter. It's pretty much the polar opposite, a different set of skill sets. Both of those guys, how is that drill and why is it so difficult?
You know, Dexter is pretty much a quick guy, smaller, and Jonathan's just the opposite, big and strong. But I've just been putting in a lot of work this offseason, you know, trying to get back out there on the field, just making sure I've been perfecting my technique, trying to maximize my craft and just get better.
Well, that's what was impressive, because you haven't been doing that for, you know, almost a year, and you step right in there and you get those two guys that are very good at what they do, and you're able, like, you didn't miss a beat from when you started last season.
Yeah, man, just a lot of work, man. You know, I've been putting in a lot of work, just making sure I stay on top of everything. And, you know, I just want to keep being consistent and keep building on top of that. It doesn't stop right there. It's just one drill. You know, I just want to keep going further and keep trying to get better.
4 or 5 days in, everything feeling good?
Yeah, everything's feeling good.
Awesome. Take care.
Good news from Eric Berry as he continues to be with the Chiefs first team defense. Now a bit of a precautionary tale. If you come out this evening and you see Eric Berry, Jamal Charles, Tony Moyaki on the sideline, they may get limited reps tonight because it's the Chiefs practice at Sprat Stadium. It's a night practice, and it'll be on the AstroTurf. So Romeo Crennel said he may limit their snaps on the turf just because natural grass is a little bit easier on the knees. No need to push these guys too fast, too soon. But as you heard there, if Eric Berry has anything to say about it, he will be back, and he will be back quickly. Another guy who's been back and actually very, very impressive. A lot of people want Matt Castle updates when they're not asking for Ricky Stanzi updates. Castle has had one mistake throw. He threw an interception to Javier Arenas. It was actually a very nice diving interception by Arenas as Castle tried to hit Dexter McCluster in the flats. But Castle has been very efficient thus far in camp. Very few mistakes, very few turnovers. Obviously, he's developed that relationship with John Baldwin. He seems very comfortable right now, and not a lot of people are talking about Matt's performance as they focus on the quarterback battle behind them between Stanzi and Quinn. Matt is entrenched as the starting quarterback this year. He's not facing competition for that job out of the gate. So he's here taking care of that first team offense and blending in nicely. And he would be making headlines. You would hear from it if he was throwing interceptions. Instead, he's going out about his business. He's been efficient, and he's not necessarily making headlines, which is a good thing. In fact, we talked to Matt after practice today, and he was asked, is this the best offensive roster that he's had since his time with the Chiefs? I think you know what the answer to that question is.
New England? Right. Well, in New England, you know, when my first few years there were heavy with two tight end sets, and we did a lot of that stuff from splitting them out and going empty and stuff. So it's familiar in that sense, but at the same time, every team's different. And right now, I think everybody's trying to find a role. And so whether it's two tight ends or three wide receivers, you know, we've got a lot of depth at a lot of different positions right now.
Brown, how much of the offense is the same? How much does it evolve in just the short time period since you've been a part?
Right. It's evolved a lot. You know, obviously he's been in Cleveland, been in Miami, and so he's taken bits and pieces from each of those offensive units that he's been with. But also the terminology has changed a lot since I was in New England. So, you know, the OTAs was great to get caught up to speed on new terminology and everything else. But all in all, there's a lot of concepts that are very similar to what we did.
On paper, and as an outsider, obviously, looking at it,
right.
It looks like once you have everybody in, you've got pretty much everything you could want weaponry-wise as a quarterback. I mean, does it look that way from where you're standing, that this is as good a personnel certainly you've had since you've been here in Kansas City?
Well, there's no doubt this is the best personnel group that we've had since we've been here in Kansas City. Now it's also about us coming together as an offensive unit. You know, you never know until you get out there and start going how you're going to mesh and everything like that. But like I said before, I think we're moving in the right direction, making progress each and every day, and guys are stepping up.
Does that put more on you? I mean, when you look at it and say, okay, I've got all the pieces, that there's more of a focus on you and you have to perform?
Not at all. I think it takes less pressure off me, you know, when you have guys around you. A lot of the quarterback position, if you can get those guys, if the ball in the playmaker's hands and let them make the plays, makes it a little bit easier on you.
Matt Castle has a lot of targets between the two tight ends. We've talked about it on this show over and over. You don't have to be Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez to have the tight end set and be as effective as the New England Patriots. The fact the Chiefs, you could say, have a poor man's version of that duo in Kevin Boss and Tony Muiaki, which is just fine, because if you've got guys who can stretch the field and give you options in the pass game, because Muiaki Boss, if you take out maybe the top two, top three dual tight end combinations in the league, these guys are in that next tier, the top of the next tier, and they can do a lot of the things that the top tier guys can do when paired with what a lot of these top tier teams that have, such as New England, Gronkowski and Harris, they don't have the run game that Kansas City has with Jamaal Charles and Peyton Hillis. Lots of options for Matt Castle at the tight end position. Lots of options out of the backfield. You talk about motioning Charles out and getting the ball to him in space. Peyton Hillis caught 61 passes for Brian Daboll in 2010. The Chiefs haven't had a running back catch more than 60 passes since Priest Holmes back in 2002, 2003. And most of those are screen passes. As you remember, they love to get Priest out on the edge with Willie Rofe and Tony Richardson and those guys blocking in front of Priest. Those were all most of those are screen passes, though. Hillis is more of a guy who's a receiving threat out of the backfield. He'll do the 5 yards out. He'll sneak in out late with the delays. He'll burst out into the flats. And then we haven't even talked about Steve Breston, about Jonathan Baldwin, about the big name that's not here when he gets here, what is expected to be the Chiefs' number one receiver in Dwayne Bowe. So Matt Castle, a lot of options to work with. Keep going down the line. There's Cyrus Gray. He's shown a little bit at camp. And then there's the guy that, well, it was phrased, a player without a country. Dexter McCluster, is he a running back? Is he a receiver? He's been a receiver so far throughout camp. What's interesting about Dexter, when you see the Chiefs go into the red zone, Dexter gets more and more active. We've seen big plays from Baldwin. We've seen big plays from Charles in camp already. But what about the red zone? The Chiefs were horrendous in the red zone last year. They were a 32nd-ranked team in red zone efficiency. They'd go there, they wouldn't score, and many times they'd penalty and back up, and they wouldn't even get field goals out of their red zone. Red zone was a huge problem for the Chiefs last year, and they've been working out throughout the offseason and throughout training camp so far. And Dexamer Cluster has been a big part of those red zone snaps, using its quickness and space, getting just a little bit of separation and delivering the football on those short routes into the end zone. I talked to Dexamer Cluster not only about Brian Daboll and his attack philosophy, but how he sees the Chiefs attacking the red zone this year.
Red zone production was an issue for this team last year, and you're a guy, when they go into red zone snaps, has been really active. Well, how would you say Brian Daboll's approach to red zone is?
Honestly, he knows last year is last year. That's put behind us. He addressed it, but now we know that, you know, when we're in the red zone, we're going to score. Whether it's 3 points, whether it's 6 points, we want points on the board. So I think now we're all got to lock in and just do our job, use our technique, and ultimately get that touchdown or that 3 points.
He talks a lot about attacking. He seems to say our offensive style is an attack style. How is that different than maybe how it's been in the past with Brian?
With Coach Daboll, you know, he wants to attack. He wants to attack the weaknesses. He has an answer for everything the defense can throw at you. He puts guys in the right position to get open, you know, or to work for that other guy to get him open. So I think it's going to be a good deal for us in the red zone.
You've had a little issue with some ball security. What have you done
with the ball security, it's football. You're going to have fumbles. You're going to have drop balls. But ultimately, it's your job to limit that. Mm-hmm. Not doing anything different, just knowing that, you know, it's that extra inch of fighting for that extra yard. You know, the ball can pop loose. So just making sure you have both hands on the ball as you're going down.
How exactly will Dexamer Cluster be used this year? Right now it is out of the slot. Devin Wiley's competing there as well. If Wiley's able to ascend, you have more flexibility with McCluster in the backfield. But the running backs have looked great as well. Cyrus Gray with a couple good runs yesterday. The first day of full padded practice, Peyton Hillis gets loose in the open field and goes with a dual stiff arm to two different defenders, showing his strength. We haven't seen necessarily the world-class sprinter speed yet out of Jamal Charles, but he hasn't had an opportunity to show it. What I've liked about Jamal are his lateral movements that he's been able to do. Cyrus Gray has shown great recognition in the zone cut and the zone rushing game that Brian Daboll is bringing more and more of to the Chiefs offense this season. If everyone's healthy, Dexamer Cluster can be the ultimate wild card. If their injuries do occur, a guy like Wiley isn't able to be more than a special teams guy. Cyrus Gray had a hamstring through the majority of offseason practices. If that flares up again, then maybe they're a little more limited and they have to focus Dexter on one of those positions. But right now, when the Chiefs are at full health, that is where I think Dexamer Cluster is at his best, because he's a true wild card for offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. In fact, I've actually heard a few fan rumblings asking me, well, Dexter, you know, he's a running back. He's a receiver. What exactly is up with him? Is he going to make this team? Is he competing for a roster spot? Dexamer Cluster is very much part of this offense. There's no question he's going to be part of this team and this roster as long as he remains healthy. He's going to factor into the return game. He's going to factor in offensively. It's just, how versatile will he be this year? I think it depends on the things around Dexter. He can do so many things, and Brian Daboll has such a history of taking players like Dexamer Cluster. Think Reggie Bush last year. Think Charles Clay, the hybrid fullback tight end last year in Miami. Daboll has a history of success with those types of players. There's no question in my mind that Dexamer Cluster is a big piece of the offensive plan this year in Kansas City. Another big piece is the guy making the calls at the line of scrimmage. Case Wigman plays over 11,000 consecutive snaps in the NFL. So last year as a rookie, Rodney Hudson gets no work, not a single snap as the Chiefs center. Casey Wigman, as always, had a monopoly on those snaps before retiring this offseason. Hudson did get a little bit of work in at guard. He was an All-American guard at Florida State. But here in his second year, he is the Chiefs starting center. We caught up with Rodney Hudson about playing for Brian Daboll and how his camp's been going so far.
Having a new offensive coordinator, does that make it more difficult?
We just learning. You know, we're just trying to learn from the coaches, learn from each other. You know, we have some good veterans on this line that we have, you know, that played a lot of football. So we're just learning, you know, every day, one day at a time.
All right, last question. When you were drafted, one of the things you said was maybe he's a little bit undersized. You ever been called undersized before in your life until you got drafted?
I don't really listen to that stuff. You know, I just try to play football, you know, do it the best that I can, you know, and keep learning.
Thanks for the time.
We go here to our live chat. We the Chiefs must have been out here at camp. We the Chiefs tells me Sean John was great yesterday, and I don't know how that slipped my mind when I was talking about the running backs. You're right, We the Chiefs Sean John was probably the most impressive running back at practice yesterday. He was getting loose with his runs in the backfield. He was catching passes out of the backfield. And then he's kind of the forgotten player on the Chiefs practice squad all last season, gets a late call-up to the active roster for the final regular season game in Denver last year. And here he is. There's something about him. He's still part of this roster, still working in the offense and getting carries. It's a big preseason for Sean John. But do the Chiefs want to keep a bigger back? He's built a little bit, not as big as Jackie Battle, but a little bit bigger on the bigger side. He's bigger than Gray. He's bigger than Charles. He's not bigger than Hillis. Not many players are bigger than Hillis. It's interesting how Sean John will fit in, but if he continues to have practices like he did yesterday, where if you had to name an MVP yesterday, sorry, Sean, it was John Baldwin. He's getting the standing ovations, the deep balls. The guy has been out of his mind spectacular throughout the offseason and throughout camp. But if you want a runner-up, it's Sean John. He wears number 32. That's a good number for a running back in Kansas City. A certain runner named Marcus Allen wore it last. Sean John has been very impressive early on in camp, and if he can continue that pace, it's going to be a very tough decision to head for the Chiefs when they determine that 53-man roster, especially at the running back when we talk about guys like McCluster, Gray, Charles, and Peyton Hillis as well. We probably got time for one more clip. A lot of people have been asking about the defensive line, Dontari Poe. In fact, we had a couple, when I was talking fullback earlier in the show, a couple fans suggest Dontari Poe back there is the lead blocker. Who knows? Maybe someday. I think Dontari Poe is working on refining that technique to be the zero tech and to be a three-down player. But we did catch up with Derek Johnson, who not only talked about Dontari Poe, but also the play of the Chiefs' defensive line.
How's this defensive line look, like Tyson Jackson coming into this year and also the nose tackle position as well?
They're looking great. I have no complaints at all. I've been free most of the time, so when the guys up front do their job, I'm free as a bird, so I'm loving it.
Is that Poe's main responsibility, keep people off of you?
Most of the time, it's Poe and Tyson and Glenn, so Poe's the main guy.
Has he been learning quickly, or is he still
He's been learning quickly. He's been switching in from first and second team. So, I mean, we've definitely been getting a lot of work. So, it's a lot of learning to do at the nose. That's a hard, hard position.
Are they going to flex him out some to the end in certain alignments?
Maybe so. I don't know. He can. He can play all the positions. That's how flexible he is, even though he's the biggest guy on our team.
So, he can be a three-down guy is what you're saying.
Yeah, he can be a three-down.
How much are you enjoying those times when he is getting reps with the first team? I mean, is that good to see, knowing what kind of his expectations are this year?
Yeah, it's always good to get the mental reps with us and actually the physical reps. He's still learning. I mean, this is early in the camp, mm-hmm. and we have big plans for Poe.
Do you guys learn things about him in those situations as well? I mean, the more veteran guys get to see what he can do, and I mean, is that important?
That's always important. You got to get him around us. You got to put him on first team. Sometimes sit him down and let us see what's going on, because in the NFL, when you're coming from college, this game moves really, really fast.
You know, time flies at Training Camp Live, and we're at the end of another show. Remember, we are not here tomorrow. We'll be back at 2 p.m. on Thursday for a show. Mitch Holthus will join me in studio again as he shakes that nasty cold that he's been carrying around here throughout training camp. One more announcement, though, and this is exclusive to live show viewers and our Chiefs 365 fan forums. For the third straight year, I'm going to start up our official KCChiefs.com Fantasy Football Challenge. Of course, there are 20 spots on a first-come, first-serve basis. I will let you know on this show. Keep watching when that will open up. I'll also post a message in our fan forum, so keep checking back there. I'll probably make the announcement this weekend, probably Sunday, and then signups will probably start about a week from there. So be king after that Arizona Cardinals game. Remember, it's first-come, first-serve. It's a 20-team league, but it's really about 16 teams because I've got a squad in there. Our man B-Rad's got a squad in there, and I take the first and second place finishers from each year, and they get automatic entrance into this free league as well. Why should you be in it, and why is it a first-come, first-serve league, and why is it 20 teams? Why are there so many teams? We want as many people to participate as they can. However, these leagues fill up in about, I think it was 3.5 minutes last year. It was full. Reason being, the champion of the league every year gets 4 tickets to the game of their choice and 4 sideline passes to that game. It's free to enter. All you got to do is win a fantasy football league with a bunch of Chiefs fans. Pretty cool. Our second and third place winners get 65 TP t-shirts this past year. It's an awesome deal. So be checking. I don't tweet about this stuff. I don't write about this stuff. It's exclusive for our everyday fans just like you who watch Chiefs Live, who come to the fan forums. We want to give you a little something for being so loyal to this show. We'll see you on Thursday, 2 to 2:30, right here on KCChiefs.com.
Cow Plunge.
Fourth Grade Challenge.
Diabetes Expo. As a key sponsor of Mustangs Baseball and Chiefs Training Camp, Heartland is the number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.